I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doctor. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And we have a show this week. Just barely. Because, you know, some weeks you got it, some weeks you don't. This is one of those weeks when I don't. You know, I don't have it. I don't feel it. But that's okay. The geekery is still there, and we must report upon it. Yeah, that's not even right. But anyway, the Evil Empire, my first item. By the way, before I even do that, let me mention that we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We are also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. Yes, I was about to forget that. I'm sorry. Don't want to break with tradition, you know what I'm saying? Okay, let's get back to the blog. The blog, of course, is drbill.tv, as it says there on the screen. And the first item, as I was about to jump into, I want to get into it because I'm in a curmudgeonly mood. That's not even a word, but it's close. So we'll go with it. The first item is about the Evil Empire. The Evil Empire, of course, as you well know, is Microsoft. Microsoft has been, will be, and will continue to be the Evil Empire from now until the ends of time, I'm sure. They can't help it. They're evil. Okay, let's, for point of fact, discuss their latest evilness. Which is, of course, that they have micro-stopped some folk. Yes, and that is the hashtag there on the screen, which discusses or represents, maybe is a better way of saying it, the issue at hand. Micro-stopped. Yes, that is the term that was coined as a hashtag to describe what's happening to people like Chris Perillo. Chris Perillo, who runs Locker Gnome, a basically geekery establishment, okay? He is formerly of Tech TV and was featured on the Screensavers with Leo Laporte. He's well known in the geek community. He, in the last many several years, I don't even know how long, he got married and has now had a child. Which he calls Jedi. Yes. Did I mention he's a geek? Okay, well anyway, he's mostly harmless, okay? But Microsoft sent a cease and desist order about copyright infringement. Now the thing is, he does demos of Microsoft software on the web. And Microsoft was not happy with that. Now, Microsoft being a company that wants to sell stuff, kind of how they make their money, you know what I'm saying? You'd think they'd like it when people featured their software on their network, you know, podcast, netcast, whatever I'm trying to say. But no! I had a viewer of this very program, this very show, sent me an inquiry as an email that says, Dr. Bill, have you been micro-stopped? No, I haven't. Apparently, Microsoft isn't aware of me. If they were, well, they probably would try to micro-stop me. But the idea here is they're concerned about copyright infringement notices for videos that are, some of them, years old. And so Microsoft has backed off of this and said, what? Wait, we didn't mean it. Yeah, right. Didn't mean it. Of course they meant it, but they got caught. The geek community rose up and said, no, thou shalt not take Chris Pirillo down? Of course, they got all the money in the universe. Microsoft, that is. So, you know, they could, if they fought a legal battle, you'd be doomed. You know what I'm saying? So, Microsoft, it's a thing. Fortunately, a thing that has somewhat backed off. You know what I'm saying? So, we'll see if more people get Microsoft. Hopefully not me. Next item is that Crossover 14.0 is out. Now, Crossover, for those of you that aren't quite aware, is basically the professional purchased version of Wine. No, not the kind you drink. Wine. Windows is not an emulator. Wine. Yes, well, it's not exactly an emulator, but it allows Linux to call Windows APIs, which allows Windows programs to run on Linux, which is pretty sneaky, if you ask me. It's kind of neat and tricky. Of course, I like it. And I have actually used it to run eSword, my favorite electronic Bible, e-sword.net. It's only a Windows program, but if you want to run it on Linux, which I do, as a matter of fact, my PC there in the living room is running Peppermint Linux. Peppermint Linux, of course, as I've mentioned before, is right out of good old North Carolina. And it's an awesome version of Linux based on Debian. And I have Wine installed. Matter of fact, just the generic plain old version, open source version of Wine installed on my Peppermint box. And then I installed eSword and voila, it just works. How cool is that? Windows software running on Linux. Now, Crossover is the official supported purchased version of Wine. They have released Crossover 14 for OS X users. Of course, I'm a Mac user as well. OS X users and for Linux. It also works. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons for its release is that it works with the latest version of OS X, which is Yosemite. Which is, as I was explaining, coming home from church this morning, this is a Sunday as I record this, to my wife and son, that it's Yosemite because Yosemite is a big rock. Rock. And of course, you like the picture here. And of course, OS X, the new version, Yosemite version, is as solid as a rock. Yeah, you got it. Okay, that's what they're trying to imply there. So anyway, but it is new. I just installed it this afternoon on my MacBook Pro. And it's running quite nicely. It is different looking. It's flatter. That seems to be the new thing, is flatness. Not the, you know, three-dimensional looking bubbly kinds of things, you know. But no, flat. It's a thing. What can I say? Anyway, it works, though, and it's quite good. So, I said all that to simply say that this new version of Crossover, version 14, does support Yosemite. So, there you go. Now, it says it is, let me go back. Windows applications can be launched directly from Crossover itself, and Crossover presents simple icons you can drag to your OSS dock as shortcuts to your favorite Windows applications, which is very handy. Managing Windows applications on your Mac is easier than ever with Crossover 14. For Linux users, Crossover has a powerful new automatic configuration feature which will detect, download, and install system components necessary to run Windows applications. Crossover includes a database of what packages are needed by which Windows applications on which Linux distributions. In other words, it's basically smart. I like my software to be smart. I don't want to muck around in hyperspace. You know what I'm saying? Yes, I know it's technically a Hitchhiker's reference, but actually there was a hyperspace in the Mac world. It's kind of nostalgic, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, never mind. The point is, it's cool. So you should check it out. Whoa! That, of course, is the drum roll that Fred played for us for the Geek Software of the Week. Geek Software of the Week this week is Proxmox. I know it sounds like maybe some kind of disease. know. Or maybe a drug to fight the disease. I don't know. Proxmox. To be officially fair, it is Proxmox SE. Yes, is it SE? Let me scroll a bit here. VE. Virtualization environment. I knew SE didn't sound right. Where am I getting SE? Oh. Yes, well, Fred may be right. I'm not sure. The point is VE. Proxmox VE. As it says there on the screen, VE stands for virtualization environment. Now, this is unusual. I actually have a video demo of Proxmox. Now, before I show it, let me explain it to you. If you're looking for a virtualization environment, which is actually essentially its own Linux distribution, you install it on your hardware, your server hardware, and then you get into it with a web interface, which is what, this is what's interesting, this is what VMware is moving to manage their environment, is a web-based client. Well, Proxmox already has it. And it's actually quite interesting. So let's go into the demo right now. All right, we are looking at Proxmox Virtual Environment. This was recommended by one of our listeners, viewers, and I am actually very impressed with this. As you can see, I have an installation going here of Microsoft Windows 7, and I like this because I can move the console right over here and I can watch the CPU and memory usage right as the installation is going on. This is installed on one of my spare machines. It's running a solid-state drive, and so the performance is of course really good because of that. In a real-world environment, Proxmox would be used on different systems with shared storage to give you a full virtualization environment and the ability to migrate between hosts for maximum uptime. But here, in this particular environment, for testing, I'm actually very impressed with how this works. You can come over here and see your hardware, your various options, task history that you basically are logging what's going on. Then you can do backup, actually do backup and do snapshots from here. It has a firewall, various permissions. But going back to the summary view, if I click on our test box here, this local machine we're calling Proxmox, and then the test is the VM that I have started. And then I can go right over here to console, and I can choose no VNC, VNC, or Spice. Basically, if we go with the regular VNC connection, and you can see that it really is nice. I mean, I hate to sound like I'm so amazed, but I really am, because this is working extremely well. And to be an open source virtual environment, which, by the way, this is using KVM in this particular test case, and it's very, very fast, very effective, and I've been very impressed with it. I think it's going to be a real handy tool to have in our arsenal, and I'm still exploring it, as a matter of fact. I can go in here, server view, folder view, storage view. That should be interesting to go in here and look at our storage. Let's see, pool view, which of course probably isn't very useful in our current setup because I've only got it on this one machine. But very nice. I mean, you know, this is kind of cool. It's the kind of thing, by the way, you'd go up here and click Create VM and step through a wizard to do the creation of the VM. But this is the no VNC console. As you can see, my installation is proceeding along here. The media that I'm using, I kind of, you might say, cheated a bit here. I'm using the CD built into this host, and that was one of the options, use CD on host. I can use that and doing it that way. Now we're booting. Notice it auto adjusted for the screen. That's kind of nice. And I see very little overhead here. I mean, it really is installing about as fast as it would directly to the machine, which, you know, that's kind of the beauty of KVM anyway. Let me scroll it off the edge here, and let's look at the settings. It's using 80% roughly of the one CPU that I allocated to it. Managed by high availability, that's kind of interesting. CPU usage, very, very nice. I'm just real impressed with it. I think if you're looking for a virtual environment at a very low cost, if you're using it professionally, you want support, there is support for it. As a matter of fact, that was one of the things as it booted that it came up with, is if you want support, you do have to pay for that. There you can migrate from one host to another. Just really impressive. And you notice here too that you're getting into it through a web connection. In this case, the address and then :8006 is the port, and then it appended all this to it. All of my other console things that I opened are there. So there we go. I'm going to go ahead and log in. Type one of my super secret passwords. Actually, let me try that again. There we go. And hint, we'll just say hint. I have found in the past that if you don't put anything there, it'll fuss at you. So I'm going to go ahead and use that. That looks good. Yeah, we're on the home network. Yeah, I'm very pleased with this. I really am. I think this could be a very valuable tool. No, we're not going to do a home group. We just want to go ahead and get it up. There we go. Now, what I'm really curious about, and one reason I'm kind of hanging in here, is I want to see if I can adjust the video once I get in here to a higher resolution than the standard resolution. That could be very interesting because I'm using it here on a very large monitor, 27-inch monitor. So let's go to screen resolution, see what our options are. Look at that. I've got all the options that I could possibly need based on the monitor, the real monitor. So it's actually sensing the monitor. Keep the changes, and there we go. That's pretty nice, I got to admit. So, I think this is a great environment to use. Particularly, can you imagine this in a small business where you're really limited in terms of your cost? This is an article I was looking at earlier to get the information about logging into the GUI through the web. But let's go to Proxmox.com and look at subscription plans. This is something that I looked at earlier. Now, as you can see, Proxmox, I believe, is out of Germany. But the pricing they have here is based on the euro. So the community gives you access to the enterprise repository, stable software update support via community forum. And it's 416 euros per CPU per month. Now, that would be interesting in the case of this particular system because I believe there's a lot of CPUs on this system. Let's see, 416. Let's do a quick conversion on that. 416 euros equivalent in dollars. Dollar, there we go. EU to dollar conversion. 416, that's four sixteen. There we go. $31 U.S. dollars. Interesting. So basically what we're saying is if this were a quad-core machine, which I think it may be a little bit more than that, but if it were a quad-core machine, we're looking at about $20 per month. So again, if you're a business and you want support, then you're looking at about $20 a month to be able to have at least community support, updates, and access to the enterprise repository. You can go ahead and continue up in terms of standard and premium and have so many support tickets per year, remote login via SSH, etc. But you know, right out of the box, so to speak, using it in this fashion, I can see that this would be useful, so to speak, without even having any support. Not that I wouldn't encourage that for a business, but for a lab situation, this would really be awesome. So, hope you found this interesting. This is the Proxmox virtual environment. This was version 3.3-1 that we're looking at here today.
Okay, see? Wasn't that cool? I liked it. It was actually fun to play with, so I enjoyed that. But check it out, Proxmox virtualization environment. It's good. I really enjoyed playing with it. Now, I was going to show you Microsoft's Windows 10 preview, but I tried to install it in VirtualBox, and here's what happened. As you can see, what happened was nothing. It didn't work. It said, I'm sorry, it must power down your PC. I couldn't install it in a virtual environment. And to be fair, it's a beta. And it also, you know, is supposed to be installed on hardware, but I didn't want to fool with any of my actual hardware PCs for a test. So I normally install things like that in VirtualBox. But no, it wouldn't work. So there you go. I tried it in VirtualBox under Linux. Didn't work. I tried it in VirtualBox under Windows PC, and it didn't work. Either way, either time, nada. Okay? So there you go. Microsoft being evil once again. First they try to microstop us, then they won't let us use VirtualBox to do a demo. I miffed. Miffed, I say. Anyway, there you go. So hopefully you enjoyed this episode, strange though it may have been, of Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. Join us next time. Remember until then that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.